Bless you guys. Ek wonder hoekom is dit dat in gemeentes, maak jy saak waar jy gaan. Ek is nie 'n man wat baie gereis het aan 'n land in die wêreld, maar ek was al 'n paar keer oor see vir bedieningsdoeleindes en so, maar selfs daarso, buiteland, gemeentes daar en hierso, mense hou nie daarvan om voor te sit nie. Kan iemand vir my sê hoekom? Is dit oor die spoeg wat spat? Oftentimes, me being, people have called me naughty. I don't know where they get that from. I strongly disagree. I'm not naughty, but I thought we're going to have a setup in a church one day. Die mense gaan kom, hulle gaan hulle verkieste sitplekke kry, they're going to make themselves comfortable, and then I'm going to stand at the back and everybody's going to have to turn around. So, die wat weggekruip het achter, you're going to be right in front. It's good to have you visiting with us this morning. How many of you know that you didn't come to church this morning? You didn't come to church. You are the church. We just so happen to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ in a building and in a common place like this. And it's good for us together, get together like this and share God's word. On a more serious note, we just want to take an opportunity to remember a friend of ours that has graduated to be with the Lord Jesus, Barend de Graaf. Wrote for the Centurions for many, many years. I had the privilege of speaking to his life on several occasions, especially yesterday afternoon as he was laying in ICU in Emfuleni, and we got the news this morning that he graduated to be with Jesus. We just want to take a few moments silence to think of Barend's family, Joan, and the siblings, the sisters, and the rest of the family, and this motorcycling community as a whole. An amazing, amazing man, and suffered for many years from motor neuron disease and stuff like that, but I know this, that he's in the hands of the Father in a body that is no longer suffering. So let's just take a few moments just to remember Barend. Thank you. And then we ask that you just continue to pray for Dion and Debbie De Meyer. They were in a motorcycle accident yesterday. They were airlifted to the ICUs at Alberton Hospital as well as to the Mill Park with various fractures and stuff like that. The injuries are serious, but they're in good spirits. They're strong and they're in capable hands. So when the Spirit of God reminds you, we ask that you continue to pray for them as well. We've started a new sermon series called Hearts of the Fathers, and we've had 3 days, Thursday evening, Friday evening, and Saturday, speaking about the curse of fatherlessness in the world. And in preparing for this and getting ourselves lined up with what God is saying to us as a church, we started speaking about it last week, Sunday. And then I spoke to Eugene and Nicole in my office afterwards, and I listened to two teachers. And I thought to myself, yeah, Mozzie, if there's anybody that knows and can see firsthand the results and have firsthand experience of the curse of fatherlessness in this nation, it will be teachers. Are there any teachers in the building this morning? Can you raise your hands, please? Raise your hands. Ex-teachers, anybody, right? They're busy teaching next door. A teacher will be able to tell you what it's like teaching children who are suffering from the curse of fatherlessness. And this morning, folks, I want us to turn our hearts and our attention to a cry that's going out from God the Father. There's a cry going out from God the Father this morning. The Father, the best Father there ever has been and ever will be. God the Father, not die groot baas of iemand daarbo, kyk vir my, or wie ook al. But God the Father, there's a cry going out from the heart of the Father this morning to children. His children, sons and daughters, people created in His image. There's a cry coming from people who are suffering the consequences of fatherlessness. I can tell you that every single one of us have some area in our lives that is not as good as God intended it to be because of the results of fatherlessness in our lives. And that's the cry of God's heart. And that's what we're going to continue to speak about this morning. The foundation scripture that we laid was from Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. And it's the last prophetic utterance. It's the last word from God before the 400 plus years of silence from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And it's interesting that where God picked off, left off in Malachi, he picked up again in the New Testament in Luke 1 and verse 17, where we see he speaks about the anointing on John the Baptist, how John will come and prepare the way for Jesus, and where the gospel program in the New Testament starts again, God picks up where he left off 430 odd years, I believe it is, there or thereabouts. Manitam, and it's a long tate for prophetic silence. And it says this, his preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Last week, we discussed the primary purpose for Jesus coming to earth was to show the heart of the Father. And through his death and resurrection, he made the way possible. He taught us that he is the truth, God is truth, and the way to this Father is through him and his life. And his principles and his values. So God's whole program, his whole agenda is to turn the hearts of children. And when I say children, adults, people made in the image of God. And you're not automatically a child of God because you're born. You're not automatically a child of God because you're a human being. Hello? You become a child of God, John 1:12 says, as many as believed in him, he gave the right to become sons of God. So that's what we're talking about here. And this cry is going out from God. And we spoke about this, that this is God's heart. The very purpose for Jesus coming to the earth was to show us the heart of the Father. And we said this, that God wants to reveal his heart through fathers to whom he's revealed his self. Did you get that? He wants to address the issue of fatherlessness in our lives and in this nation and in the world by revealing himself through fathers to whom he's revealed himself. And we said the missing in action teachings that we've done based on the teachings of the world needs a father. It's not a course. It's not a program. It's not just for men. It's for every human being alive. It teaches us what do we do? How do we address this crisis that we face in our day and age? That's what we discussed last week. This week, we're going to look at the fact that this call is going out from God. So if we can say this morning, if we could do this prophetic action and say, just stop for a moment and listen. Just listen. Not with your natural ears, but try and get a sense and a feel in your heart and in your spirit. What do you think South Africa needs more than anything? What does your family need more than anything? You that are parents here that haven't seen your children in X amount of years, or you that are children here that hasn't seen your father in X amount of years, what would you say is the greatest cry of your heart right now? You that are parents that are sitting here with difficult, difficult children that are making life hell on earth for you, what would you say is the biggest crisis you're facing right here and now? Listen. You that is children, youngsters, the teenagers, anybody, who's a teenager? Raise your hands. Any teens in the building this morning? A couple. Costa, God bless you, my brother. If you're experiencing difficulties and think, well, one of the slogans of our Missing in Action program was, Dad, where are you? Mom, where are you? If that's the cry of your heart this morning, listen. Listen, there's a cry going out from God's heart to remedy this. And this thing, folks, I said to the guys in the pre-service prayer meeting this morning, I know what God wants me to say, but in my heart, I'm finding it so difficult to align myself with him. And this is the picture that God gave me. Wat was die woord julle? A geet is a gutter, nee. The old school styles of gutters. The gutters were made out of pieces. They were joined together, and if they lined up lacquer, the water flows fluidly through them like that. But these new style machines, they measure your house or whatever. A machine pushes out one long geet, one long gutter from beginning to end, and it's all beautifully lined and the water flows. And I just sense that, you know, my heart needs to be aligned with what God wants to say so that we don't miss this. So this whole thing has rattled my cage completely because the Spirit of God has grabbed hold of my heart to show me, Mozzie, this is the urgency of the day. This is the biggest issue we're facing. And as a pastor of a church, as people, as somebody has to stand before God and say, Lord, this is what I've done with your people. This is what we've taught. This is what we've presented. This is what we've given. I've had to come to the place where I've come to this conclusion. There isn't a single Christian counseling issue that we'll face as ministers of the gospel that cannot be brought back and linked to this common cause of fatherlessness. Fatherlessness. We touched briefly last week about what we've learned for many, many years as to the major contributing factors of the breakdown in marriages. If you were here last week and you're listening again, just say, preach it, brother, and continue to pray. This is for those who didn't hear and who missed out last week. We've learned that over the years, the three common causes of breakdown in marriages is communication, sex, and money. Those three principles. Either too much or too little of them or not enough of it or whatever. But actually, the truth of it is, all of those three, lack of communication, lack of finances, challenges in the intimacy when it comes to the confines of a marriage, all of those are because of insecurities that are there because of fatherlessness. It can all be tied back to that. So folks, this is what God is saying to us for this season in our lives. If we open and honest and say, Lord, where I'm at today in my life, you are who you are, the way you think, the way you act, as a result of something somewhere along the line where fatherlessness has had an effect on you or those around you. Church, let's be honest with ourselves. Vir oggend verf ons mekaar met dieselfde kwas. Can we say it's safe to say that we're all being combed under the same brush? So what is this thing of God's? What's this whole thing of fatherlessness about? Why is it so urgent? I was asking these questions to help the settle in my heart and mind as to God, why are we on about this? Because I can come up with some cool themes. The Trinity of Self, me, myself, and I. And have lacquer posters on the wall. This is our theme, hallelujah. But God is saying something, ladies and gentlemen. God is saying something. And the question was, so what's the big deal, Mozzie? Why is it so urgent? What's all this stuff about fatherlessness anyway? I know my dad. My dad knows me. Everything's lacquer. It's all hunky-dory with us. Great. But stick around. You'll see how you can play a role. And for those of you that missed out on these teachings, your turn's coming. We're going to get you. God's going to get you. Because this is for everybody. Every person in this congregation will be subjected to this transformation in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives so that we can get on God's program in fulfilling the Great Commission. So what is the urgency all about? Why is God, I start off by saying God's crying out, He's calling out. If we listen, God is, the Father is calling out. He's crying out as a father for His people. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Kronieke, né? Dis reg. Tweede hoofstuk. Tweede boek, tweede gedeelte daarvan is 16e hoofstuk, vers 9, die eerste gedeelte van hy versie. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So the eyes of the Lord are going. He's going through the earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So immediately that gets my attention. I want to know, okay, God, is my heart committed to You? Am I here on earth on my own agenda? Or is my agenda lined up with God? Is my life in line with what God is busy doing? Or is it just me, myself, and I running the kingdom of self? Because His eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those who are part of His plan and His agenda. Die van ons wat nog voeter op ons eie agenda. I wonder where we are then, if we're not at this place. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. This is the very abstract prophet. The stuff that God did through this man was incredible. Many people stay away from this book, but it's an incredible book if you let the Holy Spirit color in the picture for you. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. Let's pause there for a moment. Imagine God saying that to us. Hoor julle, ons drie, ek, die Seun en die Heilige Gees, ons is hier in ons kantoor en ons bekyk sunny South Africa van bo af. En ons wil soek, ons wil sien, is daar iemand iewerste, wat bereid gaan wees om op te staan, en sê, here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, is there somebody, church, is there somebody here this morning? If God says, I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap for South Africa, I'm looking for somebody, wat sê Afrikaanse gesegde, wat hulle sal pa staan, is dit die regte woord, help my julle, hulle sal daar so wees, I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap for this country, here and now, to deal with this crisis, I'm looking for somebody that's prepared to get their hands dirty, I'm looking for somebody who's prepared to roll up their sleeves, put the parties of milkshakes, and fun times aside, just for a little, and get on with rebuilding the mess that we're facing in our families, and our schools, and our governments, and our social structure. I'm looking for somebody that's willing to say, God, you know, I'm not the best at anything, Lord. I don't have this, I don't have that, Lord. But I'm available, Lord, I'm here. Lord, just use me. Lord, if you can use a donkey, use me. God, if you're willing to speak through a rock, use me, Lord. I'm here, Lord. I'm not the best looking, I'm not the richest, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, my dipstick doesn't touch the oil anymore, but Lord, use me. You get the picture? Use me, Lord. Imagine God saying that to us here and now. This was thousands of years ago. Church, this is what God is saying. I looked for somebody to stand in the gap, to rebuild the wall of righteousness, to reestablish the standard, to build up the standard instead of crippling under the standard, breaking under the standard, collapsing under the standard that's been compromised day after day after day, a decline in moral excellence all the time. We're living in the age, ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah 5 and verse 20 is being fulfilled, which says that that which is good will be called bad, that which is bad will be called good. We're living in that time here and now, and God is looking for men and women and youngsters like you folks this morning and kids like myself to say, God, I'm available. I'm available. Church, how are you this morning? Are you available? Are you available? So God is saying this. I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. Remember 2-3 weeks ago we spoke about the fact that sometimes God uses the enemies of His people to teach His people a lesson? Listen to these words. I looked for somebody to stand in the gap to rebuild the wall of righteousness so that I don't destroy the land. Ek dink in ons geval is 'n kwessie van sodat ons onsself nie vernietig nie. Sodat ons onsself nie afskryf nie. That's it. It's like we talk about, and it had its time, it had its place, and it had its purpose. I'm not knocking it, it's good. Daai gesegde wat op baie Christene se lippe was vir die langste tyd, ken jou vyand. Remember that? Ken jou vyand. Yeah, we know our vyand, but what if ons grootste vyand onsself is? If we are our own enemy, why? Because we say, when are they going to do something about it? In the meantime, God is asking you, when are you going to do something about it? The they that you're waiting for is actually you. Have you ever wondered who's the they? They say this and they say that. I want to meet the they. Well, go to the mirror. You see that person you see in the mirror? That's the they. When are they going to be doing something about the moral rot and the crime and corruption in this nation? Look to your left and to your right, behind you and in front of you quickly. Please just do that. Look around you. You've just looked at the people that God is waiting to use, to be the they that make the change you so desperately want to see. Can I get a faithful, loud, roaring amen in the building this morning? Amen. That's what God is looking for. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I'd not destroy the land, but I found no one. Lord, let that not be the case with this church. May there be someone to stand in that gap. And then Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Jesus gives us a written invitation. How many of you have had the privilege of receiving a beautiful, nicely prepared, wonderfully, lovingly, caringly made written invitation to something? Anybody? You've gotten a written invitation somewhere to a wedding or a celebration or some kind of special. You've got a written invitation. This morning, I'd like to present to you your written invitation. Isn't it beautiful? Hi, look at that. Isn't it amazing? Wow, I've got a written invitation. And who's it from? Oh, it's from Jesus. It's from Jesus, from His heart, with His hand, given to people thousands of years ago, scribes. Included in His message, His love letter. Not a book of rules and regulations, but His love letter. His written invitation to you. Check my eyes. To you, you, and me, and you watching. His written invitation to you. He says, come, 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 Jesus says, come. I've got the answer for this. There's a way. I love that song. We need a move. Man, the Spirit of God gripped me during that song. We need a move. God, we need a move. We need a move. And then there's that war cry that we started chanting. There will be victory here. 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 When Jesus says come, and we come, and we make ourselves available to Him, there's going to be victory. There'll be healing. There'll be breakthrough. There'll be power. There'll be deliverance. There'll be hope. There'll be restoration of families. There'll be the fulfillment of this. The hearts of the children turn to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers turn to the children. Mitz. Provided we respond to this invitation. And in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Now, folks, I don't have the privilege of being a biological father, but I'm a spiritual father to countless sons and daughters in the Lord. And sometimes the burden is heavy. The burden is heavy when you see wayward, lost children on their way to hell. The burden is heavy. It's heartbreaking. It's taxing on my life, as it should be to anybody who's allowed the Spirit of God to touch their lives and has a compassion for the lost. That can't walk by a social issue or suffering of humankind in any way whatsoever and want to do something about it. If you let God touch you in that way, you'll see that this burden is heavy sometimes. Ladies and gentlemen, is there anybody that can relate to me this morning? The burden is heavy. And Jesus is saying, come. I know it's heavy, but come to me. He knows what it's like to lay down his life and die for others. He knows what it's like to shed his blood for the guilty. He knows what it's like to pay the ultimate price, because we owed a debt we couldn't pay, and he paid the debt that he didn't even owe. He knows what it's like. And therefore he says to us, come. Come, he says. You are weary and carry heavy burdens. I'll give you rest. Ek wil graag daar wees. Lord, I just want to rest in you. I just want to know that you got this. Because Lord, when I look at the crisis that we're facing, mense, dit is so groot, ek weet nie waar om te begin nie. Dit is oorweldig groot. Dis oorheersend. Is that the right word? Dis oorheersend. It's overwhelming. I don't know where to start. Richard and I were talking about it yesterday. I don't know where do we begin, Lord? How do we address this? Baby steps. Small little decisions of obedience at a time. And we pick up momentum there. God will do the rest for us as we allow His Spirit to lead us. And He says, I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So why is this call of God in our hearts of the fathers so urgent? Why should the curse of fatherlessness be so important to us with everything else that's happening in the world right now? I'm going to ask that question again, because I asked it of myself. Lord, that's great. It's amazing. Yes, we recognize the need. But why is it so urgent? In the light of everything that's happening in the world right now, why is skielik, is hierdie nou a prioriteit for ons allemaal? But hasn't it always been God's priority? Hasn't it always been God's priority? So think about this. Who is the first person ever to suffer from the curse of fatherlessness? The first being. Who? Adam. Somebody listens. Satan. Satan was the first victim of fatherlessness ever. Why? He chose to remove himself from the blessing and protection and covering of God and ate for himself to say, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt myself above. He separated himself from the heart of the Father. And ever since then, he wants to make everybody else fatherless like him. This has always been God's agenda. It's always been part of the gospel program. Fatherlessness has always been the gospel program. To redeem the lost, to get people, human beings, back to their rightful place in front of God, in the presence and the fullness of God's favor as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So this is not the new favor of the month, or the next best thing, or the new program, or the new course, or the new teaching. This, ladies and gentlemen, is God's agenda. This, ladies and gentlemen, is God's agenda. Addressing fatherlessness in our lives. That's why it's so important. Let's just remind ourselves, for those of you who weren't here last week, of some statistics that are sobering. Are you ready, church? Well, yeah, you're going to hear this often when you get the material. It's going to be discussed in our care groups. It's going to be what we do as a church, addressing fatherlessness. So some statistics. Hoekom is dit so belangrik? Isn't the price of petrol more important than this? Isn't the fact that there's a shortage of stock in the world in all industries? Isn't the fact that the biggest chip manufacturing plant in the world in China burnt down? That's why it's difficult to get components and no suppliers have got nothing. Isn't that more important than this, Mozzie? Surely it is. Well, 63% of suicides come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated by displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 40% of children do not live with their biological father. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless children come from fatherless homes. 71% of children who do not finish school come from fatherless homes. And my prayer is that 120% of us are going to stand up and be willing to say, here I am, Lord, use me to fix this mess. That's a percentage I want to get excited about. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the issues that we're facing in this day and age. And the call of God is going out on our hearts for this thing. And that's what this morning's about. We came here this morning to listen to what God has to say. I'm convinced in my spirit. I'm beyond persuaded. I know because I know because I know. This is what God is saying in this hour, here and now, for this house of faith. Not one amen. Lord, change their hearts. Open their hearts and their minds and their ears and give them understanding to see and to discern, Lord, the times we're in. Remember this statement by Stephen Baskerville. Virtually every major social pathology has been linked to fatherlessness. Violent crime, drug and alcohol abuse, teen pregnancy, suicide, all correlate more strongly to fatherlessness than to any other single factor. The connection with fatherlessness is so strong that it erases the relationship between race and crime and low income and crime. Because for many years, we thought that it's to do with racial challenges and low income issues linked back to fatherlessness. So surely, if we as the Church of Jesus Christ are serious about fulfilling the Great Commission in Matthew 28, from verse 19 and 20, Jesus says, go into the world, make disciples. I think as Christians, that's important to us, isn't it? I mean, we're not just saved to save ourselves and our rear ends from hell. We've been saved to go be instrumental and used by God to lead others to the life and the love of Jesus. So if the Great Commission is important to us, Jesus said, go into the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I taught you, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's important for a Christian, the Great Commission. How do we tie that back to fatherlessness? If we as the Church of Jesus Christ are serious about fulfilling the Great Commission, then surely the curse of fatherlessness should be our primary concern. Because at the end of the day, let me ask you this, Lord, church. Is the Lord not showing us this? I'm asking for a friend. Is the Lord not asking us The Great Commission, getting the lost saved, isn't that restoring them to the Father? Speak to me, church. Isn't that the fulfillment of the Great Commission? Addressing fatherlessness? Because you, well, Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 44, thereabouts, he speaks to the people politely and correctly because he's concerned about not hurting their feelings. And he tells them straight, he's not concerned about hurting their feelings. Eh? You do get the sarcasm there. Hello? Hello? He was mingespin about people's feelings. His mission was to say what he heard from God. And he said to them, you are of your father, the devil. How many of us in counseling contexts have said that? Somebody comes to you and they messed up. They say, oh, pastor, but it's a blief for my dear and dying. And they say, well, because you of your father, the devil. It's like, oh, my feelings. Oh, this politis incorrect. Incorrect. Politis, you can't hurt my feelings. You can't say you don't have the right. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, man. Hy straight vir hulle gesê, he's a devil's kind, man. He obviously done it in love. He said, they say, ah, and hulle het hulle self gewip, hoor. They lost the plot with Jesus. These were the religious freaks. These were the church people. Hierdie was die kerkmense. This was established religion. He says to them, you're of your father, the devil. Imagine Jesus comes here and he says, Mozzie, you're of your father, the devil. Tells me straight to my face. I better look. I say, what? Who do you think I am? Don't you know I'm the pastor of Bikers Church? No? Yeah, hallelujah. I hate your mdiv. You can see he's been sitting here for many years now. Imagine him coming and telling us, why? Because he sees the condition of our hearts. And they said, how can you tell us we're of our father the devil? We're of our father Abraham. He says, by the works that you do, guys. Look at the fruit in your lives. Look at the fruit in your lives. By the fruit in your life, I can tell that you're of your father the devil. So, this thing of the Great Commission, and God has touched my heart as He's touched many people's hearts in this church and all over. He's touched my heart. I want to tell people about Jesus before Satan steals their lives. I want to get that chance to just tell him about my friend Jesus. So that's important to me. Isn't addressing fatherlessness and the Great Commission one and the same thing? Isn't it getting them moved out from under the curse of Satan to a restored position of righteousness before God, the Father who actually gave them life? Maak dit sin vir iemand hier so julle? Kry julle twee as ons een en een by mekaar sit? Of is dit nog steeds drie vir iemand hier so? We got to get this settled here and here. And I'm preaching hard about this because for me it was like, what? Why have I never seen this, Lord? Well, now's the time, now's the season. That's why. This is the season for it to be addressed and us to start addressing this. So to fulfill the Great Commission, surely we're fulfilling the Great Commission by remedying the curse of fatherlessness by bringing the lost to God the Father. In closing, I want to say this. When you look at these statistics, and you just take the time to speak to a teacher, that's teacher, whether it's primary school, high school, or whatever, take the time to speak to a teacher, and let the teacher speak to you about what they see in the lives of the children. Your jaw will drop. It's like, what? Well, maybe you're a parent here this morning, and you're experiencing it firsthand. And maybe your family life is great and your connection between you as a father and your son and your daughters, it's great, it's wonderful, and man, you guys are just waxing it and you living the dream and it's wonderful. Great. Please come on board and help us. Please come on board and help us help families who do not have the privilege that you have to have heaven at home. There are homes that experience heaven at home. I get that. But guys, what about those who don't? What about those who don't? And this call, this is the cry of God's heart. And He's using this skinny little Frenchman this morning to say to you this morning, would you get on board with this, church? Would you get on board with this and help us address the curse of fatherlessness in our nation? And when you look at these overwhelming statistics, my mind... Remember years ago, guys, before Donkey Kong and Asteroids and Space Invaders and Pac-Man. There was pinball machines. Can anybody, who knows, please raise your hand. Please, thank you. Okay, put your hands down. Who doesn't know what a pinball machine is? Hey! Woo! Okay, so for those of you who do not know what a pinball machine is, before all these high-tech graphic games and PlayStation 17 and Xbox and Y-Box and everything, what's on a box, the games that we had was these big boxes on four legs with a big screen there and these iron ball bearings, these big balls, steel balls, and it's got flippers that go up and down and the ball goes in little holes and it's lichter and it's klokkies, it's bells, and it's just a fantastic thing. I've been told that today when you find one in a good condition, they can fetch up to $850,000. They're collector's items if you can find one. So if you know of a pinball machine somewhere, please let me know. I want to buy it. I want to buy it. I want to pay $850, but I should buy it. And when you bump that machine too hard, it would tilt. In other words, you're cheating now. You're trying to tip this machine to get the ball in the hole. You can't do that. You've got to leave it and just hoi dai knoppiki. So ching, ching, ching. I remember as teenagers, you're like, oh, stop. And you come back. Those are 10 cents. It's 10 cents. It would tilt. Mozzie, when Mozzie saw these statistics, my mind tilted. What do I do, Lord? What do I do? What do I do? It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. What do we do? So I say this. We said it last week. I'll say it again. If it's worth saying once, it's worth repeating. We have to do the impossible. We have to do the impossible. This is an impossible, insurmountable mountain that we're facing. But fortunately, we serve the God of the impossible. Matthew 19 and verse 26, Jesus said, with you, with mankind, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So we have to do the impossible. Addressing fatherlessness is not going to be easy. However, we have to start to make the difference. Encourage you with this verse. These two verses. And then I'm done. Romans 8, verse 18 to 19. Yet what we suffer now, because it's not going to be easy. Make no mistake, I'm not so naive that think we're going to come with a scripture verse or two, a nice little manual or six, a programmiki, a paar da, twee aande, and a hele saterdag, and alles gaan gefix word. No. It's going to cost. It's going to cost. And it says this, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. And that's speaking about once everything's been said and done and Jesus comes and the church is raptured and Satan's thrown into hell forever, etc., that all of creation is going to see who we've always meant to be, who God has always intended us to be. That's what it's speaking about there. But in context and relevant to where we are at, the suffering that we're going to go through, the difficulties and the issues that's going to make this difficult for us, it's nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed later. Imagine a family transformed, where a family is restored, where children are reunited with their fathers. And fathers are reunited with their children again. When there's restoration, where fathers haven't spoken to their sons for years or whatever, and there's healing and restoration, and the curse can be stopped there. Can be stopped there. And that's God's encouragement to all of us this morning, folks. Right there where you're seated, I want you to be honest with yourself, and you ask yourself, is there some, if you take a few moments just to think back, what your dad was like, what is your father like? Think about the mistakes that he's made in your life. And right there where you're seated, would you ask God to help you forgive him? And if you're here as a parent this morning, and you think about your mistakes as a parent, will you realize, I could have been there for my son. I could have been there for my daughter. Those critical transformative ages and stages of their lives from 6 to 11. Where you're supposed to, as a father, establish moral authority. where you're supposed to confer identity, your child's identity, who they are as human beings, who they are as goddelike wese in hulle velletjies. I mean hulle velletjies, comfortable in their own skin. As you're supposed to provide security for them, emotional security, spiritual security, not just providing the bucks to give them food, clothing, education, etc. And the mistakes of affirming potential, all of those areas where as a parent you've perhaps failed, would you ask the Lord to forgive you? Right there where you're seated, I want to pray for us this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to start ministering into our lives. So maybe you're a parent and you're honest enough to say, Lord, I've blown it. I've missed it. And I realize, Lord God, that there's so many ways that I could have, I couldn't better gedoen it. And this is not about the devil condemning you or accusing you. This is just about God bringing deliverance, forgiveness, and healing, and helping you move on from the mistakes so that you can be a blessing to your children from here on in. And Lord, as parents, we pray this morning, Father, and you are a good, good God. It's who you are. You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. Lord, thank you for your love and kindness, and we ask that you forgive us this morning, Lord God, of the things that we've done wrong as parents, where we've failed our children. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. We didn't know any better, and we're sorry. Have mercy upon us and be gracious to us, Lord. And then if you're somebody this morning, you think to yourself, yeah, my dad wasn't there for this, my mom wasn't there for this, or my dad done this, my mom done that, or they didn't this, or they did that, and you've been hurt. Allow the Holy Spirit to put His finger on areas of your life this morning where you know your parents have let you down. As God forgives you of your sins, would you be willing to forgive your mom and your dad? Would you forgive your parents for the wrong they've done to you? You can pray along these lines and say, God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love my parents. And Lord, for the hurt that's been done to me, I ask that you help me to forgive them. I set them free and I release them into your hands, Lord. In the same way you show them grace, show me grace, would you show them grace, Lord? And these hurts, Lord God, that has long-term scars on my life and in my heart and has molded me and shaped me into the person that I am today. Lord, would you just bring healing and restoration where that's necessary in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, I pray for every individual here this morning, every man and every woman, every father, every mother, every son, every daughter, every child biologically and every child of God and myself included. We come to you, God Almighty, God Almighty, the Father of heavenly lights, the good, good God. Ask, Lord God, would you help us tackle this one family at a time, one heart at a time, and one life at a time. We thank you for this, Lord. And as we're praying in this prayerful attitude, as we sang a song, Lord, we need a move. And I know the Holy Spirit is moving right now and just touching people's hearts and lives. I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to people. Maybe you're at a place where you don't even know God as your Father. Maybe He's just die groot baas daarboue of iemand or somebody that you turn to only wanneer die krisis beland in jou lewe, dan ewe skielik is daar 'n gebitterheid en jy soek die Here se aangesig and you want to know God personally. Maybe you don't even know that you're going to spend an eternity in heaven. If you're not sure if you died right now that you'd spend an eternity in heaven right now, where you seated, if you in any way not sure about your eternal salvation, and you're not confident in your heart that you are secure in your relationship with God. If there's anybody like that here, raise your hand. Anybody. Put your hands up. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. What's important is that, not that I see your hand, what's important is that God sees your heart. Anybody else, just lift your hand up. I'd love to pray with you. Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Would the whole church stand with us as the deep end comes up to minister to us? Whole congregation, let's just stand together, please. intercessors, continue to pray fervently, please. This is the most critical time of the service this morning.